Lord, I pray that the message we're about to hear, Father, that we would be so attentive to what you have to say to us. Father, that it would sink in, it would penetrate, that we would understand how much you love us, and in turn, how much we should love you, Father. Father, I pray a special blessing upon Samantha this morning as she begins to teach her children in Children's Church, that your anointing would be so strong upon her and that the kids would listen, that it would sink in. Father, have your way now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're going to begin in Romans chapter 8, but I'm just reading one verse there, and then we're going to go to John 3:16, 1 John 1, 9. I did not give Amanda the verses this week, and so I'm sorry about that, but I had a bunch, and I'm skipping around and using some different things, and like in Romans 8, 1, I use King James instead of NIV, which I usually read out of NIV, but I thought King James said it better for this particular verse. But what I want to talk to you all about this morning is about condemnation. And I don't know if any of y'all ever felt condemnation, have ever lived in condemnation, have ever felt like you're not good enough, you can never be good enough, and like there's no way you're going to make it into heaven. And Satan, so often, he lies to us, and he speaks lies into our heart, into our minds, and for many of us, we have a hard time getting past it. And Romans 8, 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." See, I like King James because it adds that, "who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I want you to understand here, it says, "no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Okay? And being in Christ Jesus, now there's not the condemnation. But what I worry about, and this message today is encouraging. Okay? I hope it's encouraging. But I also want to be careful that you all understand who it's talking about there, and it's talking about those who are in Christ Jesus. So what I'm trying to say to you is, don't say, "Well, I said a prayer once at the altar and I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, but then I live like the world, I live like everybody else, but I'm always feeling guilty." Well, if you're living like the world and you're living like everybody else, then of course you're going to kind of feel guilty, okay? Because it's the condemnation that's coming upon you from being in the world. Alright? So it's those who are in Christ Jesus that chase not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So many today are walking around filled with condemnation, guilt, worry, that you can't be forgiven. Some believe that God's just up in heaven, ready to send you to hell, ready to strike you down at any moment. And there's people that really think that that's God, that He's up there just ready and almost excited to send you to hell. That's not God. That's not God this morning. We go to John 3:16. Everybody knows these verses. You see them on Tim Tebow's face. You see people holding up signs at the ball game. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Y'all, that's good news this morning. That's good news for you. That's good news for me. That's what the gospel is based on. "For God so loved the world," that's us, "that if we believe in the Son that He sent, that we should not perish, but have eternal life." But the verses go on here. Verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." So there it is again, to not bring condemnation on us, to not condemn us. But so many believers are walking around in condemnation of the past that we've done. I've been there. I've done that. For years, when I was first saved, I walked in misery and I walked in guilt. And God, can you really forgive me of this? God, can why would I have that thought? Why did that just happen? If I'm really a son, if I'm really your child, and I would feel such condemnation all the time. I had a breakthrough finally. I've shared it with many of you, but I might as well share it again because not everybody's heard the story. I'd stole some stuff one time, and when I stole the stuff, I really wasn't a believer, but after I became a believer, I began to really be burdened about that stuff that I stole, and so it was probably worth a few $100s of stuff that I'd stole from a place that I worked at, and I felt such guilt that I went and when we got our income tax return, and I went with like $800 or $900, and I was going to pay this guy back three times what it was worth and tell him what I'd done. And I went to his house, and I was so scared. I was shaking. I thought, you know, he could have me arrested. He could send me to jail. And I knocked on the door, and his car was in the driveway, and he didn't answer. And I knocked again, and he didn't answer. And I rang the doorbell, and he didn't answer. And I'm like, he's home, but he's not answering. And I went back, and I got in my truck. And it was like the Lord spoke to me, not audible, but in my spirit. And he said, Pete, it's under the blood. Let it go. And I just began to weep and began to cry. But it took that moment of I think, God seeing that I was willing to face, even if it meant going to jail, before I was released of that. Now, I've had friends, I've had different people tell me stories where they went and repaid stuff and how it worked out. There was a story I heard on the news where a man had murdered somebody something like 20, 25 years ago, and he got saved, became a believer, and went and confessed and is in prison now, and his kids called him a hero. I'm not telling you if you've done something, you got to listen to what the Holy Spirit, what the Lord is telling you to do. Maybe you do need to go confess. Maybe it's like me that God said it's under the blood and I felt such freedom. But the reality is Satan is trying to keep us living under condemnation. And what did we just read? That for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now, I encourage you to go home and finish reading this little section right here because it talks about being children of the light and walking in darkness. Men love darkness. But where I want to go today is really to just focus on so many that are living in condemnation these days. And we're going to go to 1 John 1, verse 9. And I'm hoping that these are encouraging you this morning. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Church, that is where we come and we admit that we're a sinner. We admit the sins we've done. We've admitted the things to our Heavenly Father. And it says that He will forgive you. He will forgive you. It's not, He might forgive you. It's not with stipulations. It says that if we confess that He will forgive us. But so many of us are living under condemnation of the past. Am I the only one that you feel such guilt? You feel such over things you've done, and if you could go back and do things different, you would. But we can't go back and do things different. But God's looking for at our hearts. And if we're truly asking God to forgive us, we've repented of our sins, that He will purify us from all unrighteousness. See, I think that's also key there. Because this is going to get into a little more here in just a minute, but to purify us from all unrighteousness, when we confess our sins, we're supposed to be free from our sins, so we're not living in them anymore, and we're purified from that unrighteousness. Does that make sense? Not only should we not be living in condemnation, but we should not be living in sin either. Okay? And that's part of it. If verse 10 says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. You know, I think everybody in here, I hope everybody in here can admit that you've sinned, that you've blown it, that you've done something wrong in your life. And I know very few people in my life, but I do know a few that think that they have never done anything wrong and they still do nothing wrong. Okay? But part of becoming a Christian is understanding that we need a Savior and that we have blown it, that we have sinned. But let's go on here. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Okay, this message this morning that I'm talking about, God's love, God's faithfulness, God's not up there ready to condemn us. He's not up there ready to send us to hell. And this is in no way saying, okay, I can live my life how I want. I can just sin and go on. That's not what I'm preaching here, okay? Because he just says, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. We're not to live in sin, but we're not to live in condemnation either. And this verse goes on, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's good news. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we do sin, we have an advocate before the Father. It's Jesus Christ. But He's not saying this gives us permission to sin. Does everybody get that this morning? Are we nodding yes, no? Do we get that? This is not giving us permission to sin. But we have an advocate if we do. Since I've asked Jesus into my life, since I've asked Him to be my personal Savior, I have sinned. I have blown it. I've even rebelled. But it's not my life, and it's not my lifestyle. And if it's your lifestyle, something may be wrong. Something may not be right. Verse 3 says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His command. See, that's where only you can answer this for yourself. Only I can answer it for myself. But do I really know Him? And if I say I know Him, if I say He's my Savior, am I obeying His commands? The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's pretty plain there, isn't it? That's pretty plain. That if you say you know Him, but you don't obey His commands, you're a liar. You know, we can say, the Bible says even the demons believed in Jesus and they shuddered at His presence, at His name. They believed who He was. But that doesn't mean those demons are going to heaven. See, it's when we put our trust in Jesus Christ and we obey His commands. Verse 5 says, but if anyone who obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. And you say, wow, that's walk as Jesus did? That sounds like, huh? We're to walk as Jesus did? I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. And as I was reading this and as I was thinking about this and I thought of Jesus forgiving the adulterous woman in John chapter 8. And it just made me think this is how we should be with those around us. And this is how our Father is with us. John 8, verse 1, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, He appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around Him, and He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commands us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Him. How were they trying to trap Him? Well, first of all, in the law, it was the man and the woman that were to be brought in to be stoned. Okay? And so that was part of it. The other part of it was that if Jesus would have said, stone her, then they would have got the Romans, because the Romans at that time didn't allow the the Jews to carry out their own punishment of execution. So they would have got the Romans after him. If he would have said, don't stone her, then they'd have said, oh, then you're breaking the law. So they were trying to trap him here. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Y'all, there's sometimes in my life when I feel such condemnation. There's sometimes in my life when I feel such guilt that I just have to stop. And I have to remember the words of God. I have to remember Jesus. And I have to remember verses like that where He says, then neither do I condemn you. And I think sometimes we're living under that condemnation so much and we forget what a loving Father we have. How much He loves us. How much He desires to forgive us. But what did He say? Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. That's part of it, church. Us not living in condemnation, part of it is us now obeying where we just read in 1 John, obeying the truth, that if we love Him, we'll obey His commands. And part of that is leaving our life of sin. Does this make sense? It all works together. It all works together. Now we don't have to live under condemnation. Why? Because we've left our life of sin. But even if you do sin, we have an advocate before our Father in heaven. But by no means is that an excuse to sin. Is this getting through to anybody this morning? We're not to walk around and live in sin, but we're not to walk around living under condemnation. And if you blew it this week, confess it, repent of it, ask God for His mercy and grace, and let's get going again and not live under that condemnation. And I think this is such a beautiful picture of how God is with me, how Jesus is with me, how His mercy and His grace. But He says, Pete, leave your life of sin. Don't keep doing it. Don't go back to that garbage. Don't go back to that junk. John 5:24 says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And when I want us to think about that. Have we crossed over from death to life? And I think about Satan. What does he want you to do? He wants you living under condemnation. So basically you're dead and you feel like, I can't talk to anybody. I can't witness to anybody. I can't further the kingdom of God. Because look at me and look at what I have done. And when you think about that, being dead, and that's what Satan wants. Satan wants us dead. Satan, that's his desire, is to kill us, and he wants us dead. But what have we been talking about the last several weeks? About the fruit of the Spirit, right? Well, does a dead tree produce any fruit? No. I've got plenty of dead trees that I see, and what happens? They fall down, and they break, and they'll burn up quick because they're not producing anything. But a tree that's alive will produce good fruit. And see, that's where Satan wants us living under condemnation, so we're never producing any good fruit. That's not where Jesus wants it. Are you alive this morning? Or is Satan constantly bringing up the past? Is he constantly bringing up your failures, your shortcomings? In Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brother who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. Who are they talking about there? Satan, who's accusing us day and night, standing. And Satan is called the accuser and he's accusing. Do you know what Pete did? And look at what Pete did and his thoughts and this. And Pete did this and Pete did that. And the accuser is standing there day and night. And that's what he does sometimes in our hearts, in our minds. He's accusing us. But verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. God, we can overcome that condemnation by the blood of the Lamb. We can be forgiven of those sins of our past by the blood of the Lamb. God says in Hebrews 8:12, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." You ever remember stuff? You know, sometimes it's easier to remember stuff what so-and-so did to you, right? I remember things from school sometimes and what so-and-so did, or you know, and it's easy to remember how your spouse made you mad, how your spouse did this or your spouse did that, or your coworkers, or, you know, I'm going to pay them back, or they did this, so I'm not going to be kind. I'm not going to do that. You know, sometimes I do that at work and I try and get away with it, but I just can't. Matter of fact, last week I was irritated at somebody because they never do their job right. They never do their job right. And I was so irritated with this person, and I was loading something on their trailer, and I thought they never strap. I know I'm probably saying stuff that you guys don't know, but we got these big 55-gallon drums. You're supposed to strap them up, okay? And we got some guys that are so lazy. They won't ever strap them up. And so I was loading something on this guy's trailer that never straps anything up, and he just loaded stuff on my trailer, and he didn't strap it. And I thought, I'm not going to strap it. He didn't strap it on mine. Forget him. And I backed out, and I took off, and the Lord said, Pete, what are you doing? What are you doing? We're not to pay back evil for evil. But where I was going there is remembering what people do. It's easy for us to remember how people have hurt us, how people's wronged us. But these verses are so beautiful. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Hebrews 10:17, then he adds, their sins and their lawless acts I will remember no more. How awesome is that, that we have a God in heaven that says, I will remember their sins no more. Back in Psalms 103, and we're winding down here. In Psalms 103, and we're going to read 1 through 14 here if you want to turn back there. And this is just a beautiful psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise the Lord. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your disease. Think about that. Who forgives all your sins. Satan wants to remind you. Satan wants to bring you under condemnation. But here we can stand on the promises that God forgives all our sins. That He remembers them no more, right? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. That's where we were before we were believers. We were in a pit, whether we knew it or not. We were in the pits of hell, whether we knew it or not. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He makes known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. Now listen to this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. I need that in my life. I need a Father that's slow to anger with me, because sometimes I'm a little slow at getting it. And sometimes I need that compassion. I need that grace. Verse 9 says, He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Do you hear that? He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. That's awesome. That's awesome. What a God we serve. How awesome is He that He doesn't treat us the way that we deserve to be treated, according, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. You hear that? For those who fear Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. I will remember their sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, He'll remove our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. When I think about that and I think about how much I love my kids and how sometimes I've had to discipline them because they needed it. And I had to discipline them to teach them a lesson. But it's not fun. And if I've seen my kids hurting, if I see my kids in trouble, what am I going to do? I'm going to pick them up and I'm going to hold them in my arms. And I'm going to show them love, right? Because you love them so much. And my love for my kids can't even compare to the love that the Father has for all of us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And I like that because I think, yeah, He remembers how all of us are sometimes. I'm going to close up here with these verses in Isaiah 43, verse 25. He says, "I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more." Church, this morning, Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to set me free. We need to forget the past. We need to put the past behind us. And we need to start living today for Jesus Christ. Obeying Him, proving our love by our obedience, as we read in 1 John. That if we obey Him, then we really truly love Him. And not live under the condemnation of what we once were and what we used to be. In Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, in these verses I read probably 7 or 8 times at the beginning of last year. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." And last year we started off the year talking about forgetting the past, and God wants to do a new thing with us. God wants to do a new thing in our church. And I believe right now God is beginning to do that. That He's beginning to do something new with each and every one of us. But what will hinder that? Well, our sin will hinder that. Our disobedience will hinder that. And our walking under condemnation will hinder that. Because if we're walking under condemnation, then we're not going to be effective for the kingdom of God. And that's exactly where Satan wants us to be. Lamentations 22 through 23, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." His mercy is new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. I know I've said I'm going to end several times, but this is it. Okay? Peter. Oh, I love the story of Peter. Jesus warned him. Warned him and asked him to pray. And what did Peter do? He fell asleep. And he kept falling asleep. And what Jesus warned him, you're going to deny me. Oh, Peter says, "No, I'll never deny you, Father. I'll never deny you. Even if I have to go to the grave, I'll never deny you." And what happens? Peter denies Jesus 3 times. He denies Jesus 3 times. And even curses, it says. He even cursed when the woman said, "You must be one of His disciples." And he began to curse and say, "I never knew the man. I don't even know Him." And then it says Peter went outside and he wept bitterly when he heard that rooster crow. You guys remember the story? But when the angel is in the tomb and the women come in, and in Mark 16:7, the angel says to them, "But go, tell His disciples and Peter, He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him just as He told you." Why is that so important? Because he didn't, if he just said, "Go tell His disciples," maybe Peter would have said, "I've blown it, I denied Him, I'm not worthy, I can't go." But they specifically said, "And Peter." Y'all, even if you've blown it this week, even if you blew it last year, even if you blew it 10 years ago, Jesus is ready to forgive you this morning. He's ready to give you a new life. He's ready for us to walk, not living in the condemnation of the past. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray that You would bring encouragement to each and every one of us, Father, that we would look at our lives, and if we're living in the past, we're living under condemnation, Father, that right now we would confess it as sin. Lord, that we would begin to walk in faith, knowing and believing Your Word, Father, that we would make the choice to believe what Your Word says and not the lies of the devil, and that we would no longer live under that condemnation of who we once were, but we would walk in the newness of life that You have given us. Father, I pray for encouragement for everybody in this room, Lord, that we would begin to walk that new life, alive and free from sin, to walk in righteousness and holiness, and to obey You, to bear good fruit. Lord, to know that You're there, ready to forgive, that You make Your mercies new every day. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that each and every day we would get stronger and stronger, that each and every day we would begin to walk in the freedom from sin, that we would begin to walk in true righteousness. Father, may Your love come down on each and every one of us this morning. May Your love come down on each and every one of us this morning, Lord, that we may forget about the past. Start fresh and new today with You. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Altars are open if you need prayer for anything. Y'all, don't let Satan win any longer in your life. Let's forget the past. Let's. Maybe you're holding on to something that someone's done to hurt you. What did He say? That he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And everybody left. Maybe this morning you're holding on to something and you're ready to cast a stone. Remember how much God has forgiven you of. And let it go this morning. However the Lord leads, altars are open.
The more I seek You, the more I find You. Lay back again.
Deceiver, the accuser, the liar that Satan is, hinder you anymore. If you're struggling in condemnation, if you're struggling in sin, if you're struggling in anger, if you're struggling in jealousy, whatever area you're struggling with, I promise you, if you will open up this Bible. And maybe you might say, I don't even know how to open up. I don't even know how to find it. Then take your smartphone and type in verses on condemnation, verses on jealousy, verses on anger. And usually 25 to 50 verses will pop up. Get those verses. Memorize those verses, grab hold of those verses, and when Satan begins to accuse you, when Satan begins to do that, grab hold of the truth of God's Word. That's the only way that we can combat him. You look when Satan was tempting Jesus, what did he do? He tried to manipulate and use God's Word in a false way. But Jesus knew the truth of God's Word, and he was able to come against him. Let's not let Satan win any more victories in our life. Let's live in righteousness and freedom and obedience in Christ Jesus. And be encouraged this morning. Because God loves you and He makes His mercy new every day. Today is a new day. Let's begin to walk in His mercy and His grace. No service tonight. 4 o'clock, a fellowship time. You're all welcome to come. Have a blessed afternoon.